12 Rules for Life, An Antidote to Chaos, by Jordan B. Peterson, Random House Canada, 2018, 416 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance by Benjamin J. Montoya, Ph.D. About the author. Jordan B. Peterson, raised and toughened in the frigid wastelands of northern Alberta, has flown a hammerhead role in a carbon fiber stunt plane, explored an Arizona meteorite crater with astronauts, and built a quaggle ceremonial big house in the upper floor of his Toronto home after being invited into and named by that Canadian First Nation. He's taught mythology to lawyers, doctors, and business people, consulted for the UN Secretary General, helped his clinical clients manage depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, anxiety, and schizophrenia, served as an advisor to the senior partners of major Canadian law firms, and lectured extensively in North America and Europe. With his students and colleagues at Harvard and the University of Toronto, Dr. Peterson has published over 100 scientific papers, transforming the modern understanding of personality, while his book, Maps of Meaning, The Architecture of Belief, revolutionized the psychology of religion. The author lives in Toronto, Ontario. Introduction. Do we really need more rules in life? Although the answer to this question may seem counterintuitive to much of what popular psychology teaches, the answer is yes. We need rules to live by to avoid chaos. The 12 rules mentioned in this book originally began on a website named Quora, and this author's responses there had a multitude of views. The goal of this book is to present the much longer list in a concise 12 rules so that we can collectively flourish. Jordan Peterson is a masterful storyteller, and this book devotes much of its pages to stories that help bring more concreteness to what he is saying. Table of Contents. Rule 1. Stand up straight with your shoulders back. Rule 2. Treat yourself like someone you are responsible for helping. Rule 3. Make friends with people who want the best for you. Rule 4. Compare yourself to who you were yesterday, not to who someone else is today. Rule 5. Do not let your children do anything that makes you dislike them. Rule 6. Set your house in perfect order before you criticize the world. Rule 7. Pursue what is meaningful, not what is expedient. Rule 8. Tell the truth, or at least don't lie. Rule 9. Assume that the person you are listening to might know something you don't. Rule 10. Be precise in your speech. Rule 11. Do not bother children when they are skateboarding. Rule 12. Pet a cat when you encounter one on the street. Summary. Rule 1. Stand up straight with your shoulders back. When we look at nature, we quickly begin to notice a pecking order. Even lobsters demonstrate some kind of rank and file among themselves. The top lobster will show dominance by fighting other lobsters, and female lobsters will be attracted to that individual. This happens through nature, including with humans. There is an order to society that we all know deep down in ourselves. We all have some sense of where we fall within society. Part of the problem is that we often physically demonstrate and live according to where we perceive ourselves to be. So if someone knows they are at the bottom of society, they will tend to slouch, experience more pain, and live shorter lives. If someone knows that they are at the top of society, they keep their shoulders back and tend to live longer lives. Just our posture alone can make a psychological difference within ourselves. So then the choice is ours as to how we present ourselves to others and to our own selves. If we choose to stand up straight with our shoulders back, then our serotonin levels will flow plentiful and others around us will notice. Furthermore, if we follow other important life habits regarding sleep and food intake, we will also see other effects in our lives. But a big part of it all comes down to how we carry ourselves in regard to how we see ourselves in the rank of society, just like lobsters do. Standing up straight with our shoulders back helps us live to the fullest sense to help our lights shine to pursue our rightful destinies. Rule 2. treat yourself like someone you are responsible for helping. People will go to great lengths to care for a pet, like a dog. They will administer medication, take them on walks, monitor their diet. But when it comes to themselves, they often do not have the same oversight of themselves. In fact, lots of people do not take care of themselves at all, in any meaningful way. Why is that? The reason goes back to an old story from one of the most foundational religious texts of all, the Bible. In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve sinned against God by doing what he had said not to do. They listened to the serpent and ate the forbidden fruit. From that very moment, they felt shame from their nakedness. Because of what happened here, people have an innate self-disgust, self-contempt, shame, and self-consciousness. That is why children, even from a young age, know that they need to be dressed so others do not see them naked. They feel these kinds of shameful feelings from an early age. We do not exist for only the benefit of ourselves. This is part of the reason why people closest to others around them are so impacted when someone commits suicide. Our lives and how we take care of ourselves impacts those around us, for better or worse. But to do that, we must think of ourselves with a higher regard than we currently do. The second rule, then, is to treat yourself like you are someone worth helping, just like you would a child or a pet. We must each figure out where we are going so we can truly discipline and take care of ourselves. Our personal vision and direction in our lives are irresistible forces able to transform our lives. Rule 3. Make friends with people who want the best for you. Growing up, we have all likely seen people who went from bad to worse, like a town drunk or an alcoholic in the family. These kinds of people often hang up with similar people, and they almost never improve. We probably all also have known people who, every time we are around them, encouraged us to become better than we already were. Why do these things happen? Who we choose to be friends with matters. And it matters because they will either help us become better versions of ourselves or drag us down with them. There are exceptions to this general rule, like Jesus himself. He hung out with people who were known to be the worst kinds of people in society. But we must be careful when pointing this out. He was and is the ideal perfect man. And we are ourselves. We are not perfect. We are far from it. The third rule, then, is to make friends with people who only want the best for us. We want to surround ourselves with people who encourage us to become better, not drag us down with them and their bad habits. The opposite ends of success and failure usually come down to our daily habits, and it is hard to pull someone out of the pit of failure. But for those people who spend time with us, we need to make sure they encourage us in the right direction. Rule 4. Compare yourself to who you were yesterday, not to who someone else is today. No matter how good we are at something, there is always someone who is better. Sure, we all have our strengths, but in the world, there will always be someone who makes us look like we are incompetent. The realization of this point has led some people to philosophical perspectives that end in despair, as if everything is meaningless. But this discussion raises a larger point. What we focus on directs our life. If we focus on something negative, it will go in that direction. If we focus on something positive, then likewise. How we live our lives and what we focus on is often tied to religion. One of the foundational religious texts of our day, the Bible, speaks to this matter quite often. The Bible repeatedly instructs its readers to see God's goals instead of worrying about things that are not in our control. Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. The reason why the Bible does this is because our focus affects our lives. If we spend our lives in anxiety and worry because of our ongoing comparison with others, then we will waste away and worsen. Comparing ourselves to others is a recipe that cooks up disaster. Instead, we must compare ourselves to who we were yesterday and where we want to go, not to anyone else. Who do we want to be? How is that different than who we were yesterday? Our success in life comes down to our daily habits, and our object of comparison begins and ends with ourselves from yesterday. Rule 5. Do not let your children do anything that makes you dislike them. How our children turn out are usually due to acts of omission as opposed to commission. For example, grown people we meet whose lives are full of all kinds of difficulty obeying the law, listening to their bosses at work, etc., usually stems back to what their parents did not do as opposed to what they did. Children must be disciplined and taught how to live in this world, and their parents must make an effort to do that. Let's imagine you meet a 3-year-old who refuses to share toys, and their parents just let their child get away with it. The default for all of us is not order, but violence. That is why children prefer to hit others, including their parents. But when children continue to act in a way that demonstrates a lack of order and obedience, that is because their parents are choosing to ignore the problems instead of addressing them so the child learns to live with society properly. These kinds of smaller acts of omission ultimately lead to the much larger problems we see in people's lives. How, then, shall parents raise their children? There are at least 5 disciplinary principles to follow. 1. Limit the rules. 2. Use minimum necessary force. 3. Parents should come in pairs. 4. Parents should understand their own capacity to be harsh, arrogant, resentful, angry, and deceitful. 5. Parents have a duty to act as proxies for the real world. Merciful proxies, caring proxies, but proxies nonetheless. Rule 6. Set your house in perfect order before you criticize the world. Why do such awful things happen in this life? When we think about people who killed people in incidents ultimately heard around the nation and the world, we can begin to ask such questions. The people who have done these awful things usually have some kind of reasoning that drives them. Their skewed reasoning only shows how evil and wrong people can really be. Who is to blame? Can we blame God? People have most certainly tried to do just that repeatedly throughout history. Can we blame others around us? Perhaps it is their fault for how we turned out to be. All of us know that we are not perfect. We know we make mistakes. We know we have faults. We know that in some way we all engage in evil activities, be them great or small. The 6th rule is to start to stop doing what you know to be wrong. We know we do wrong things. We keep doing them, perhaps justifying them to ourselves in some way, but we know we do it. We need to start working on ourselves with the hope that others around us also do the same thing in their lives. Before we start criticizing what we see in others, we must begin with ourselves. Rule 7. Pursue what is meaningful, not what is expedient. It is more than easy to pursue what comes quickly and easily with no discipline or sacrifice. That, in fact, is what a lot of people do in this life. They only go after what makes them happy now. They do not want to delay satisfaction. They want to be happy now. Is this really the right way to live? People who sought to live this way have not done well for themselves or anyone else around them. They end up becoming destructive instead of seeking to alleviate the pain of others and themselves. Focusing on what is expedient leads people to hide everything in their closets in the name of seeking their own personal pleasure now. Instead, we ought to pursue what is meaningful, not what is expedient. Many religious teachers and thinkers have presented this same idea, Christ himself being one example. During his time on this earth, he continued to pursue what is meaningful instead of what could have been attained quickly, like during the devil's temptation. There is no doubt that there have been critics of Christianity, but the overall teaching of Christianity encourages people in this meaningful direction. Meaning is the ultimate balance between, on the one hand, the chaos of transformation and probability, and, on the other, the discipline of pristine order, whose purpose is to produce out of the attendant chaos a new order that will be even more immaculate and capable of bringing forth a still more balanced and productive chaos and order. Rule 8. Tell the truth, or at least don't lie. It is so easy to avoid telling the truth. Sometimes people ask us how we are doing, and a lot of times people respond with a non-answer or not the truth. Or when someone asks a doctor or mental health professional some kind of question when they are walking down the hall while still learning their crafts, they provide some kind of answer to avoid truly addressing the real question. Then people end up knowing they did not tell the truth. That is the situation that the author of this book found himself while visiting a mental health hospital while training. Lying is such a destructive thing, and religious books speak to that regularly. It weakens people's character as they lie to other people. It is a deep form of self-betrayal. There's plenty of suffering in this life, and religions speak to that regularly. Christianity, Judaism, and even Buddhism touch on that reality. But lying will not help with the ordinary amount of suffering we experience. The next rule is simple. Tell the truth. It will influence someone's life. Consider that in paradise, everyone speaks the truth. They do not live with feelings of weakness, rejection, desperation, and confusion. They tell the truth, and, by doing so, it keeps their souls from withering and dying away. A big part of why people tell the truth is because their goal in life is not to waste away, but to do something positive, and truth-telling is a big part of that. Rule 9. Assume that the person you are listening to might know something you don't. Listening is very hard to do. When others speak, it is so tempting to be focused on how and what we will respond with that we fail to understand and process what they are saying. It is easy for lecturers to do that, and it is easy for counselors to do that. For someone to listen well to others, they must spend time listening to what they are saying before they formulate what they think they should respond with. It must be a genuine conversation in which both people are hearing what the other person is saying before they offer. Even lecturers should be seeking to have a genuine conversation with their students, listeners, through their nonverbal responses. Counselors must listen, probably as much as they talk. The 9th rule is to assume that people we are speaking to know something we do not. This will help us listen more. Our wisdom does not consist in knowledge of what we already have, but of the continual search for knowledge. Truly wise people understand how much they do not know and spend time learning constantly as a result. That is what characterized ancient Greek philosophers like Socrates. Rule 10. Be precise in your speech. Precision matters and has major outcomes in our lives. People are often not precise, and it can be damaging to their relationships and careers. Perhaps someone got into some kind of line of work because their parents wanted them to, and they did not articulate clearly enough that they did not want to do that. Now they are working in a field they despise. In relationships, couples often avoid being precise with one another about their psychological as well as sexual desires and needs. Often people want something other than what their partner is providing. And they may be connected physically through sexual intercourse, but entirely separate psychologically, with zero intimacy on that front. That is where marital relationships can break down entirely. None of us are perfect in this regard, but we can improve by being precise in our speech and following through with our actions. We can act out what we say, note our errors, articulate them, and then confront the chaos in our lives and around the world by being precise in our own lives in what we speak. Rule 11. Do not bother children when they are skateboarding. Children will often do things that we, as adults, will no longer do based on our safety concerns. We will not climb trees or even skateboard where children will gladly do. They want to live on the edge and enjoy themselves in doing so. Sure, they will likely get hurt, but they will get right back to skateboarding. That is not something we ever want to disturb. Children need that. Boys need that kind of time to help them become true men. Our society has become such that it is harder for men to become tough, responsible men. More and more universities are dominated by primarily females in the classes and in professorships. Furthermore, as boys become teens, it becomes harder for them to want to listen to their teachers. But schools are designed to teach in obedience in a way that is more conducive to females than males. The result of all this focus is that men have become weaker. Instead of these highly educated women being able to date and marry similar men, it has become more of a problem for them to find someone of similar caliber. But women do not want boys. They want men. They want someone to grapple with and contend with. If women are smart, they want someone smarter. Our entire society has been crafted in that direction. Even popular movies like Disney movies often portray a stronger and brighter heroine than how men are presented. This is why the 11th rule is so important. We need to leave children alone when they are skateboarding. Sure, they may get hurt, but they need that time for their development and our society at large. Rule 12. Pet a cat when you encounter one on the street. The 12th and final rule may come somewhat of a surprise in comparison to the rest of the rules, but it remains important to pet a cat when we encounter them on the street. We need areas of our lives to help us unwind and remember the absurdity of existence. Sure, we can devote much of our time to extremely important matters, but we need downtime to help us unwind and notice where we are in life. Life is filled with difficulties and suffering, physical and emotional, and we are very limited beings. We need a break from whatever it is we are dealing with. It can actually make a tremendous difference in our lives. And it's not about petting a cat per se. Someone else's version of following this rule will enjoy a cup of coffee and a nice cafe. This short amount of time can help us remember that there is more to life than just what we are dealing with in the present. The author of this book likes to watch a Simpson episode at 1.5 times regular speed, all the laughs, two-thirds the time, as opposed to only petting the cat he encounters on the street. Copyright 2023, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.